Joining us on the line, representing the 9th Legislative District in the State Senate, Senator Mark Schessler. Good afternoon to you, Senator. Thank you for your time.
Well, good to be back with you and all your listeners.
So, Senator, some interesting things in the wind. One, you're well aware of the discussions going on with Ben Franklin Transit as a result of the state transportation package and a big $75 million carrot being dangled over the course of 16 years. But there is some discussion as to the language within that state transportation package as to whether or not the rate that is currently being charged to the residents of Benton and Franklin counties in that service area can be reduced, or if the transit just needs to maintain its level of taxing authority. Do you have any clarification on that?
Well, I think they are, to put it really bluntly, just greedy. I mean, the only, you did not see the Hispanic Chamber, the Pasco Chamber, the Tri-City Chamber support the resources part of the transportation package. You didn't see any business group, ag group lining up and saying, hey, we want this. Only transit was at the trough. There's something wrong with a package like that to begin with. Then when you look at the incredible reserves they have, they could certainly agree to give up a little bit of that because there are more pressing needs in Benton and Franklin counties.
Senator Schessler, there's been some discussion regarding the way the terminology reads in the transportation package, that it's there as a proviso. For those that may not be familiar with what a proviso is in a transportation package, or any bill for that matter, what is a proviso and what is the, what's the implication of it? So is it something that's immediately enforceable? Is it something that's just there? Is it mandatory? Does it have to be followed?
Well, usually it is the instructions on how to spend the money or to be eligible for the money or short-term spending packages. And oftentimes the devil is in those details. And this transportation package was especially bad that way.
So as Ben Franklin Transit's board is going to have a workshop coming up to discuss this issue and find out what guidance they want to give the voters in the service areas, to the best of your understanding, does transit just need to maintain their taxing authority, or does the 0.06% have to remain intact in order for them to be eligible for that funding?
Well, from all of the things while I was in Olympia, I never saw any requirement to raise those taxes. There was a non-voter approved option, or to maintain them. But even if there would have been no package, they would have more than ample funds to operate. I have friends in the region that are supportive of a good transit system that are appalled at empty buses running back and forth while money accumulates in the bank.
We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Schessler, Greg Neft with you. I wasn't at the meeting. I listened to the meeting. I heard it on Zoom. And one of the major, caveats that the board continually made over and over again was saying when people say they're flush with cash, they say they're flush with COVID cash, and there's a lot of strings to that. If you take away the COVID cash, they don't really all have that much in the bank. What's your thought on that?
I would say the truth is, look at the sales tax collections. Of course they got money from COVID, and that can serve for replacement of buses, capital expenditures, and those things down the road. But their sales tax collections are up dramatically. And with inflation, they're going to continue to ramp up rapidly. In the meantime, we know we have mental health issues in the Tri-Cities that need to be addressed. At some point, that hardworking taxpayer deserves a break, especially when you consider my part of Franklin County that I still represent. They do a huge amount of their purchases in Pasco, and they support, or in Richland and Kennewick for that matter. they support it. They get nothing back in return. If you're in the Colotus or North Franklin school districts, part of the Pasco district, your family sees nothing. So at this point, we should reprioritize and suck it up a little bit and make do.
What should drop? I mean, to make up for the shortfall, what would you like to see? I'd not like to see. Nobody wants to see anything drop, really. That's not what we're talking about here. But what should drop? What does BFT provide that you feel is being wasted?
The sales tax rate absolutely needs to drop.
Well, I'm talking about service.
A huge bundle of sales tax.
Well, I'm talking about service.
And, you know, I don't familiar. It would be hard for me to, you know, familiarize myself with the routes, because a lot of them aren't in my legislative district. Do we need to look at smaller buses, fewer routes? How long can we operate on the cash we have? But business as usual, with that incredible inflationary growth in sales, they can certainly tighten it up.
Well, and Senator Schessler, I think one of the things that people here have discussed, and I'm certainly sure that many that have watched the situation have talked about, we know this happens in government across the board, and that is efficiency. And where can we get more efficiency for the taxpayer dollar? We know we have a lot of waste in government. We know there's a lot of waste in government agencies. All we have to do is spin a wheel and figure out which one just happens to be wasting how much money. So it's really more of a question of how can we make these government agencies more efficient. Would that in turn then give taxpayers the breaks that we're looking for?
Well, it could very well. If you look at the general fund budget in Olympia this past year, we had $15 billion to spend. And it actually became a curse because nobody asked once, how can we deliver that service more efficiently? How can we find savings? That was never there because we had too much money. When you have too much money, you have no incentive to look for efficiencies. And right now it appears they really don't have any incentive to look for those efficiencies.
As we talk about government agencies and efficiencies, let's talk about WSDOT for a minute, because one of the interesting things I think we all saw with the mandates was that WSDOT lost a lot of employees, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're getting passes cleared after they were shut down for a month. Did they violate the mask mandates? Nobody wants to say on the record, but WSDOT is back in the news for another reason. Correct, Senator?
Well, right. With all of the really important issues, like finishing the lanes on Highway 26 and maintenance, we hear about Fish and Wildlife DOT wanting people to vote for their critter crossings in the Cascades for the People's Tele Awards. Now, if all the important things you have to do for safety, the Critters Choice Awards really don't fall into that category of what should be priority for WSDOT.
So they just need a pat on the back, is that it?
I would say a swift kick someplace below that. You know, if you think about it, nothing is more irritating when you drive back and forth across the state as I do, and all you see is COVID messages. I'd like to know what the traffic conditions and weather conditions are ahead on I-90. But instead, I get the same message I've been getting for COVID for a year, and it's not necessarily in the best interest of drivers to be the COVID bulletin board. And campaigning for a People's Tele Award really doesn't seem to be the highest priority of DOT.
Well, that's traffic and weather is why you have the radio stations like us to take care of that business. But on the matter of WSDOT, I'm just curious, and this is something that we've had back east. You see it far more back east than you do here out west, tolling the freeways. Is that something that we should consider in the future in lieu of maybe a gas tax or a transportation tax? Because you don't pay a toll unless you actually use the road. It's a little more equitable, and thus, you know, you don't get charged if you're not going to use that. Would that be something you'd like to look at? I'm just curious.
Well, we've limited it to the bridges that are mega projects to date. And that's probably enough. What we really need to look at is not the cap and tax program, but we need to look at dedicating a portion of the sales tax on motor vehicles back to highways. Then we have a system that doesn't hurt low-income people. It doesn't discriminate against you on fuel choice or EVs. Everybody pays what the value of the vehicle was times the state sales tax rate. Then we have permanent ongoing funding. You know, tolls are pretty darn tough on low-income families. But a low-income family buys a $3,500 car. The high-income family buys an $85,000 car. That's eminently fairer than tolls or the gas tax.
We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Senator Schessler, there's been still a bit of confusion regarding Washington Cares, the long-term health care tax, some things along those lines. There are people that are saying it's being taken out of their checks by their employers because the employers know that this hasn't been repealed, and therefore they don't want to get fined, they don't want to get in trouble when eventually this winds up going into place. What are some of the things that you are seeing and hearing regarding this? And is there a ramp up with this long-term care tax in lieu of it going into effect next year post-election?
Well, that's exactly the problem. Jay Inslee was successful in kicking the can past the election for the people that really don't want to admit they ever voted for it. So they put a delay on it, and they put some Band-Aids on it, but they haven't addressed the cost because the reforms they made will increase premiums without increasing benefits. In fact, right now we found in the back of the budget again $1.6 million out of Employment Security for propaganda to proclaim how wonderful this program is. Over the weekend in a daily paper, I saw a Sunday edition from within DSHS or Employment Security that this is a wonderful, great program, which your listeners know it certainly isn't. So taxpayer-funded propaganda to get through the election, and then look out if things don't change in Olympia.
And if things don't change, Senator, and here's where the interesting conundrum comes in, is if there is a red wave in Olympia and the House and the Senate shift, the governor still has the power of the veto, and there would be need to be a veto-proof majority in order to be able to repeal something.
One of the rare times you're wrong.
Excuse me, what?
One of the very few times you're wrong. Because if we go back...
There's more than that, trust me.
Very few times. But we went back to the 90s when we had a Republican House, Republican Senate. Mm-hmm. We simply put a referendum clause on bills that Governor Locke didn't care for. And we did a couple of them during the Locke administration. I think we did one during the Mike Lowry administration. The beauty of a referendum is it's not subject to line item veto, and the ultimate judge and jury are the voters of the state of Washington. Now, if we would have gotten the initiative to the legislature to make the long-term care tax voluntary, Jay Inslee would have had no say in it. The people would. And if the people want something that bad, well, I guess they get it. But I really think they preferred voluntary. And I think in a divided government, it's a tool that has to be used. Don't say we're powerless, we have to have a supermajority. Send it to the people. What's wrong with that?
Senator Schessler, this brings up another interesting question, and that is, if this happens in November, obviously the session won't begin until January. When is the long-term tax supposed to kick in 2023? Is it January or is it later in the year?
I believe it's January of 23.
Okay.
So we have ample time to get a referendum or initiative to the people and let them decide. I mean, the things that we really need to do, like fix long-term care, reform emergency powers, we don't need Jay Inslee. We need a different legislature. And at the end of the day, if the people are happy with these things, well, it is a republic and they spoke.
Now, the big question comes in, Senator, is if a referendum goes and say the people of the state of Washington decide they want this to be voluntary, those that opt out, do they get their tax dollars back?
Well, that's a detail we better take care of.
And that's,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a wonderful problem to have, is to try to figure out how to refund people rather than charge them for something that's a very poor return on investment.
Is there anything else you'd like to touch on that we didn't get to, Senator?
No, I think we've had a great chance to catch up here, and just glad to talk to you again.
Always appreciate your time. Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. I'm sure we'll talk to you again sooner than later, sir.
Thank you.